two-hour speaker participation meeting. We encourage newcomers to ask any questions they may have regarding the program and recovery. We ask that you relate to the feelings being shared so that you can better identify with our stories. There is no crosstalk at this meeting, and all questions should be directed to the speaker. Ina Renee, alcoholic, addict. Ina Renee. Okay. Woo. Okay, and tonight our speaker is Jermaine T.
My name is Rain. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank my big sister for inviting me out. It's always, for me, it's always an honor and a privilege, man. You know what I'm saying? To be asked to show up anyway. Especially in Cocaine Anonymous, man. You know, and I say that, man, because I've been around here for a little bit of time, man. I've seen CA evolve. You know, meetings aren't big as they used to be. You know, I've seen people get divided because of base ideals on how you're supposed to go through the work and receive information. I've seen people call schisms because you go to that home group when I go to this one. You know, so for me, it's really an honor and a privilege, man, because I try to take no position in that whatsoever. And I'm here to let anybody know, man, that this thing works. This thing works, man. And I don't mean just getting sober, man, because God, see, I wake up sober. I wake up sober. I'm not saying I do it to myself, but God gives me enough grace to get up in the morning and I wake up sober. And I didn't understand my condition prior to getting here. I didn't understand my condition prior to getting here, man. And I'm sorry if I talk about the book and offend somebody in here, but the book is where my solution was found. The book is where I found my solution. I don't know about anybody else, big sis, but I found my solution by going through the 12-step process. I got a lot of dots connected by getting a sponsor, sitting down weekly, going through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The book says that at a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected, right? And like for me, man, it was like alcohol was common in my mom's household, man. You know, and I always share that I don't come from a house of trauma, man, because I don't, right? My mom was a single-parent mom. You know, some of y'all might be a little bit too young, but I come from the era where, you know, moms raise their kids. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, my mom taught me that if two adults are speaking, I need to say, Mom, excuse me, and then be acknowledged before I said a word. I got the kind of mom that at a young age, man, I had chores in the house. No, I don't know about that. You know, I was a bedwetter coming up, man, and my mom at a young age said, check this out. I am tired of washing your pissy sheets, so you're going to learn how to wash your own clothes. You know, and I'm saying that because, no, seriously, man, because my mom, see, well, I didn't know it, but what she did, man, she kind of prepped me to, like, kind of, like, take care of myself. She didn't teach me how to be a man, but she taught me how to, you know, live with a woman, if nothing else. I know how to, you know, maintain my position. And so, in hindsight, today I understand that, but then I'm like, Mom, you tripping. Yeah. Come on. Born in 1982, man. You know, coming up in L.A., it was cool, man. Life was, the economy was straight. People was having, like, you know what I'm saying, they Turkish ropes on. Are y'all too young for that? You too young for that, Renee. They had the Nissan pickup trucks with the curb indicators on them. They had the old school Kenwood pullouts, right? The silk shirts. The Jerry curl was fly. Keith Sweat was fly in. Uh-oh. No, for real, man. My mom was so cool, man. She would work. She would come in, man. She would chain smoke. It was Virginia Slim Menthol Ultralights. And she'll play Teddy Pendergrass, Luther Vandross, Anita Baker, the Isley Brothers, Keith Sweat, Freddie Jackson, the OJs. Right? So as a kid, I'm already influenced by my environment. Already. Way before drugs and alcohol. Because my brain is what it's doing. It's collecting and processing and assessing the information. All the time, even when I'm sleeping, but I don't know this. So it was simple, man. My mom said, check this out, son. When you go outside and play, she say, don't unbutton your shirt. I had this habit as a kid, I would unbutton my button shirts because I thought it was fun and it was fly, right? Not to mention, colors had just come out. People was getting killed over British Knights shoes, right? And Chicago Bull hats, LA King starter jackets, right? But I'm full flight from reality as a kid. I can't see that she's trying to shield me from harm and danger, man. And you would think after the first time getting whooping, I wouldn't do that anymore, but that's not the truth. That wasn't the truth, man. And so what happened is, man, my mentor taught me that, man, as a kid, see, I ran away from my mom based on fundamental ideas, you know, and like I say, alcohol was prevalent in the house, man. And I had a sip of alcohol at a very young age, man, and it was actually from my auntie back in the day. You can actually walk around with a tall can of alcohol, a beer. You can just twist the bag around the beer. Or you can walk all up and down the streets of L.A. and not get messed with back in the 80s. It was like that. You know, so my aunt would always walk over to the house, man. She'd be drinking that, it was Old English 800. And I was like, and I knew it was beer. I had a fundamental idea about beer, right? But I never experienced it. And so one day I'm like, auntie, what's that, right? And she's like, this beer, younger, you want something? I'm like, yeah. And she let me taste the beer. And I did not like the taste of beer. And I did not get out of malt liquor throughout my career. I just could not do it, right? And what had happened is, as a kid, man, like I say, I'm influenced by my environments, man. You know, second grade, it was a girl I liked in class. I started humping on her in second grade. You know what I mean? And I shared that a lot in my story because I had no experience about sex. My mom didn't teach me about sex. I'm in the second grade. I hadn't seen an adult film or I hadn't seen a nude scene. But something in my mind told me that because I liked this young lady, go up to her and start dry humping on her. So when I got to Cocaine Anonymous, man, and got with his sponsor going line for line in the big book, meaning that we didn't skip any pages. When the book said that the main problem centers in my thinking, that became true for me. Thank God for the inventory. Thank God for a thorough inventory. Thank God for seeking truth and prayer with God in my inventory. Because I'm blocked from truth. See, the book tells me I'm full of flight from reality. It says outright we're no defective, man. So when you showing me something that's absolute truth, my mind will convince me that it's not. When I got some tangible evidence. So what happened is, man, at a young age, I got influenced, man. I got into some behaviors, man. After that first sip of malt liquor, it was a huge gap between that second drink of anything. And what happened, I acquired these behaviors, man. Like, I just happened to go into, like, stores and, like, I would leave stuff be in my pockets. It was like magic. I don't know how. But I say I want a Snicker bars and I walk in with no money, or if I even had money, I'm walking out with two or three, four in my pocket. Then I'm going to the Boys and the Girls Club like nothing ever happened. My mama didn't teach me that. And my daddy was never around. So where I learned that from? So what I had to do, man, I had to get clear on my condition, man, sober. I make some ill decisions sober. Way before I take a drink or smoke or anything, man. Yeah. So if anybody is thinking this is about drugs and alcohol, see, for me, the book tells me, see, that is the symptom of the problem. So right before I go into the inventory, the book says some cool stuff, like it's time to get down in causes and conditions. And once I got certain truth about myself, I could no longer blame the exterior anymore. Because sober gets me loaded. I don't know about y'all, man. Being bored gets me loaded, man. I don't know if you've been with your friends and we sitting there smoking and drinking, right? And I got money in my pocket and we getting high. And an idea come like, hey, we should barbecue. And they like, yeah, we should barbecue, right? We might have a few dollars or whatever it is, but what we do, we go to the store. And here I come pushing a cart full of food out the door. Run to my best friend, mom, coming inside the shopping. And I'm like, oh, what's up, auntie? And I push the basket the other way and go out the other door, man. That's how I get down, man. You know, when, you know, it was like that for a while. I engaged in so many behaviors, man, that I got into a lifestyle of crime at a young age, man. And, my God, man, I tried setting the school on fire at one point in time, man. I just got into some behaviors, man, breaking in schools and stuff, man, which I actually, I went to that school to attempt an amends, to be honest. Thank God for the work, man. I'll talk about that later. But I got to some behaviors, man. And so as a result of, you know, going to school and trying to be social and fit in and do the social norm thing, you know what I mean? You know what happens? They got social little groups, right? And it's like, if you dress like that, we ain't rocking with you. If you dress like us, we might let you into our circle. And so someone might have a birthday party. And then, like, I can go to the birthday party, right? And I can be sitting in my mind like a week prior. My mind's okay, what I'm going to wear? What girl going to be there that I like? Am I going to dance with her tonight? And I wasn't going to dance. It was fancy all in my mind. You know what I'm saying? I get to the party. I'm shy. You know, I'm barely speaking to the ladies I want to talk to, man. You know what I'm saying? And then something happened when I put that alcohol in my system. That liquid luck. Oh, you can have that, Ronnie D. You can use that one. And, yeah, man. And something happened to me physically. That fear started easing away, man. And I started being fly, man. I started knowing what to say around the young ladies, man. You know, and like I would have an experience, right? And I'll go to school the following school day. We were talking, we were brag. But it wasn't no phenomenon of craving setting off when I was, you know, younger drinking. I acquired this thing, man. I acquired this thing. See, I don't know about y'all. I don't come in here with the mindset that I'm not born an addict or an alcoholic, right? Because they can't take my DNA and tell me I got it. In the beginning, I can go to the house party and I can wait till the next birthday party to drink again. In the beginning, I could do that. So for me, it wasn't from day one, because if it was, after that first sip of that OMS 800, I would have been off running ever since. That's not my truth. That's just not my truth, man. Got to find the truth, man. Got to. Thank God for the information and applying the information on my face. You know, and something happened, man, by doing the, you know, house party things and going to life of crime and hanging out in the streets, man. I acquired this thing called, it was a taste for this cognac, man. And cognac is interesting, right? Right? I don't know what happened, man, because look, Ronnie D, like when I was young, I go to the house party, they'll pass me the red Dixie cup. And I'll take a drink of what's in it, and then I'll ask, what is this? So like in Bill Wilson's story, he say, this morning I failed to heed, man. It could have been anything. Cat piss. It could have been some gasoline. But if I like the taste, I'm like, what's this? I gotta know, I can't drink that again. But when I got that Hennessy in that cup, man, oh, it was over, man. I was smooth and debonair. And for real. No, I thought I was God's gift to women off the yak. Listen. Off the yak. And I acquired a taste for cognac, man. And so I had to learn how to hustle to keep up with what I like, man. Because cognac is not cheap. It's not like Mad Dog. It's not like the Boone's Farm. It's not like, you know, Silver Satin. It's not like Cisco. You can take $2 and get some Cisco and be lit off a little bottle. See, cognac ain't like that. You got to have a few dollars. So I started hustling at a young age, man, hanging with some older people, man, and turned into the lifestyle, man. And that thing progressed, man. I started getting arrested at like 16, 17, man. 18, I hit state prison, man. You know, smoke a whole bunch of weed, man. You know, weed is crazy, right? Because the first time I smoked weed, man, I had the butterflies. Because my brother, it was this little crew every day. They was going to school. They was getting high. They was getting drunk for like days in, days out, days in, days out. I'm like shaking my head. I'm the baby boy, like, loser. Are you lame? That's what you're doing with yourself, right? And so, this particular night, right, One of my brothers was like, yo, come hang out with us. I said, okay, cool. I said, mama got to say it's okay first, right? That's how mama was. And of course, she consented. And that night, I knew I was going to smoke some weed, right? I knew it. And we went to the little game, whatever it was, and we went to the little hangout spot, and we all stood in a circle. It was so weird because without instruction, we all just stood in this circle, man. And you know what they do? Puff, puff, pass, man. And the little weed came around, and I got super nervous. Had the butterflies in my stomach, right? I'm sitting there jittery like a mug, man. Because I'm knowing about weed because 92, I had moved to Long Beach, 91, and I seen Dre and Snoop on TV with the Chronic Leaf hats. So that's when I arrived. And everybody was talking about the Chronic. So I had a base idea about it, but now some years have gone by, now time to experience it, and I'm super nervous. Heart beating and stuff. And when I hit the weed, man, it was like I was in a whole different dimension, man. And everything was funny. I mean, seriously, man. I mean, like, we in the car, we riding around high. Like, oh, that looked like so-and-so. And I'm just like, I'm tickled pink, man. I got pains in my stomach. And what happened is I fell in love with the effect. Immediately. It did something to me physically, man, that I'm not going to understand that, man. Because all this time, after seeing Dre and Snoop on television, I had to experience the Chronic. And it happened. And I like the effect produced. And I chased weed for a long time for that same effect and never got it, man. I mean, that was some stress weed. When I went to the Chronic, it wasn't even like the first time I had ingested weed. But I still smoked it. I spent a bunch of money on weed. I spent my last. I don't have any money and still chase weed. I do weird stuff like go way across town out of bounds because so-and-so got a better sack over there. And I do this for a long time. Now I'm doing high school, I'm smoking weed, I'm selling drugs, I'm selling this, selling that, hustling. And 2 days for graduation, man, my homeboy say, hey, you want to go blaze? And I said, yeah. Without any thought or effort. I mean, it wasn't no mental obsession engaging. It was just, you want to go smoke? Let's go. So be careful on the information because sometimes there is no mental obsession. And if I don't take one, the books say I don't self the phenomenon of craving. So what happens when there's no obsession, no craving, I still smoke and drink when I don't want to smoke and drink. Got to get clear around here, people. Got to get clear around here. And what happened, I went my homie smoked this weed 2 days before graduation. I came back high and I got expelled. See, in Bill Wilson's story, he says, I'm this one and I felt the heat. See, God was showing me, man, Jermaine, check this out. This is the result of your behaviors. These are the consequences. See, but I wasn't paying attention. Because like in Bill's story on Blocked by Worldly Clamors, he said, mostly all those within myself. Because I got to feel better. A part of, I got to be accepted. I got to let my homies know that I'm down. Point the biggest one out. Watch what I do. That's it. And so for a long time, you know, we liquor, man, to be places like, you know, meth and, you know what I'm saying, and Sherm, man. And I don't like to smoke meth. But I don't like meth and I don't like Sherm, right? But see, I hang with people who lace it in their weed and they don't tell me. And then I hit it and I ingest it and then something happened to me. I transform and I'm ducking cars. No, for real, man. I mean, I'm flagging the police down, man, under the influence of Sherm. I'm flagging the police down, Ronnie D. I don't think that's normal. No, I hop people's backyards, I hop fences, I run from dogs and all kind of stuff, man, because they coming to get me. I don't know who they are, what they look like, what they want, what it all entails. You know, matter of fact, yeah, you part of them too. And I put my back against the wall. No, but my homies enjoying and controlling their drinking and using it, but my back is against the wall because I'm conditioned. I have trauma. And I do this craziest stuff. Like I run home, right? I have fences and I run home and I'm like, I see my mama's house in view and I'm like, mama! And I'm running. Y'all laughing. Y'all cold, man. Yo, I don't know why people laughing. No, that's it. No, I run home and I'm like, mama, and I'm running home because I see her house. That's like the safe ground. And I come in the house, see, mama, check this out. I was hanging with so-and-so, and I thought I was drinking and then started smoking. I went over there with them over there, and I don't know what they had, but I feel weird, and I can't sit still, and they coming to get me. And she just like, you know, she's scared as a mug, man. But she somehow managed to get me in the shower and grab my clothes off and put me in the shower. I'm on in the bed. I'm sitting there like, what's going on with you, fool? You tripping. And in my mind, I see a vision, they coming to kill me, man. And in this vision, they kill me. And I say, okay, it's cool. You know what? Forget them homies. You know what? I'm going to stay home. If I stay home, I'll be okay. I'll be safe. And it's not sufficient, man. I'm trying to explain, man, that I think I was reading. Let me. It says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power and choice in drink, our so-called willpower. Not the God's will, not the God's power, but our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring it to our consciousness. That's the key word tonight. That's the key word tonight. Because that believer talk about consciousness. But I don't, the book says for me, excuse me, I'm unable to bring into my consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a month or a week ago. It says we are without defense against the first drink, not the third, fourth, or the fifth, not the hundredth. The first one, I don't have an effective mental defense because I have some clear experience that showed me, Jermaine, don't do this. But the old threadbare idea the book talks about is that, you know, this time I can control and enjoy like other people. But the book says, so be clear that there's either the addict or the non-addict. That's it. The book says there's no middle of the road solution. So in terms of me and my condition, there's no gray area. Either I am or I am not. And it looked like this, man. I locked myself in the house. Literally, I'll work out for 6 days straight because I'm going to go get to all my homies, and I get to the spot, and I'm smoking again. Resentment, once I ingest, resentment goes away immediately. I hide money from myself, man, literally. I put money in shoeboxes in my closet, man. I put money in inside of my coat pockets, zip them up, button them fast, and put them away in the back of the closet. It's not sufficient. It's not. My daughter being home, newborn baby girl, is not sufficient. Somebody gonna change her and feed her. It's cool. It's something wrong with that condition. And I've learned it's called alcoholism. I got an abnormal condition sober, man, resulting in excess of stuff. So what happened, man, this lifestyle went for a long time, man. And like, for real, man, like I go way across town, 17, 18 miles, man. I got my bus fare to get back home. I put it in my little watch pocket. And by the end of the night, I got to walk 17, 18 miles back home. So that got played out. So I said, I'm going to steal me a bike or two. I got me a bicycle to ride. And that. I didn't let my homeboy use it because they still smoking and drinking. And the bicycle is gone now. And so for a long time, man, my condition, man, it wasn't pretty, man. The book says that an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I don't know if you ever broken your mom's pinky in a state of rage under the influence of alcohol. I don't know if you was the best man to a wedding and showed up late because you just need to drink and you got to show up late because they got to see you. It's not even my wedding. I don't know, man. But the book says that I have a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong time. Especially when some important engagement must be kept or made. So as a result of my behavior, man, I got arrested for the last time so far in 2009, man. I fought the case. I tried. I got caught dead bang. I go to court and tell Your Honor, Your Honor, I know they got evidence, but I'm going to plead not guilty. Because I'm like Bill Wilson. I got to prove to the world I'm important. Look, I've been in jail enough. I know a little bit of law. So if I got to go pro per, Your Honor, I want to go pro per. Just the insane thinking. The insane thinking. And I fight this case, man, and all this stuff happened. So I got time, and I went and did that. And because of the case, it was drug-related, I had an option to go to treatment. Now I'm sitting here, and I'm like, look, they told me if you go to the SAP program, you get to come home 42 days early. I said, 42 days early from the yard, sign me up. And I went to the SAP program, man, and it was dope, man, because what had happened is, see, I was the guy coming in last. And if they lock you out for the day, you don't get credit for the SAP program. And I'm barely getting in the gate, like, No. And I'm hearing people share about this, that, and the third, and I'm like, oh, I wasn't like that. I ain't never been married, so I ain't, you do heroin, so I ain't have my story. You mess with pills. I ain't like y'all people. So I'm blocked from the help in the SAP program. Yeah. And something happened, man. I had a moment of clarity in what happened. I looked around, we all on prison blue. And something inside my mind said, look around. We all have the same color. And something said, listen, man, you might want to start listening. And one of my big brothers in my home group, he calls this thing an act of providence. And so what happened is, you know, God interceded in my life, man, again. Again. Because all this time, God has been there. But I got this behavior, I seen we agnostics. Call it the agnostic temperament that blocks me from this power way before I even get loaded. And so I started doing some stuff in the SAP program. I started getting more involved. I started seeing that I was being inspirational, man. And that was like, cool, man. People start learning my name. You know what I'm saying? And I did that. It was time for parole. And so I got down with the situation. I said, okay, look, got to be a co-ed treatment center because I got motives. You know what I'm saying? And it had to be co-ed. It had to be. If I'm going to go, hey. Gotta be comfortable. You know what I'm saying? And so what had happened, man, is I showed up to treatment, man, with a fifth of Remy Martin, man. And yeah. Cause I'm on a train coming down from San Luis Obispo, see, but I ain't known about my condition yet, right? And so what happened is God coming through the cab back and forth, and it's fourth, fifth time, I smell liquor, and I'm like, oh, they serve alcohol on the train. I wasn't moved by that. But when I got to LA Union Station, I said, listen, we got to go to Century Main because that's Reds and they got a little bit cheaper. Come on, y'all go over there. We got to go. And so I got the fifth of Remy, man. The only reason I didn't drink because I tried to trick myself and say, look, I got to go test with my agent. I got to give him a clean test because I know I got some dirties coming. So I need a cushion. And so I went to go check in, man. He said, you going to treatment? I said, yeah, I got a bed. So he said, go. And I went, man. And I didn't want to be there. You know, I fought and I kicked and I fought, man. I get caught with the cell phone I'm supposed to have twice. I got the fifth of Remy on reserve. You know, I got some behaviors, man. I mean, I'm walking around my fist balled up. I'm reading tattoos, people's skin. I'm looking for swastikas and lightning bolts and all this other stuff and thresays because I'm conditioned, man. And I don't understand my condition when I'm sober. So I bring all this stuff from the yard right into treatment. People trying to get their lives rebuilt and recreated, and I'm blocking that. Just in my existence. That's why I love Bill's story. He said he's been rocketed in what he called the fourth dimension of existence. See, it's a spiritual realm and a spiritual realm of existence. And those two need to connect together for me to remain. If you're struggling with the God idea, it's okay. Work the steps anyway. Please, I beg of you, man. And this man came out on the panel with some people, man, and I was like, yo. I was like, check this out, man. Good looking out coming out. He said, hey, man, you got a sponsor, man? And I was like, because I tried choosing the sponsor who was an ex-pimp. Because I got motives. And, no, he had a fly little clean Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? It had Vogues on it, little chrome rims. He had some subs in the trunk. And he talked with his hands and his wrist sometimes. And I said, okay. But he was showing up kind of like, you know, like not really up to par. So I said, if I can show him how to dress this thing down, I can give you some of them isms, man. And when I got into the work, I mean, the connection wasn't that powerful. And so this man came out on the panel, H9 panel, Cocaine Anonymous, man, that came just from the Palm Springs Convention, Indian Wells, right there. And I got with this dude, man. This dude gave me the information, man, line for line, man. He was so cold with it, man. See, I don't know how y'all go through the work, but this dude was like, we be reading. He said, you know what that word mean? And I'd be like, say, man, look that shit up. Showing up a dictionary, paper, pencil, pen, highlighter, marker, whatever. And to this day, man, I still on the case. And I thank that man. I thank that man. He gave me a foundation nobody can mess with. He didn't tell me I was alcoholic. He guided me through the work for me to see I was alcoholic and that I got alcoholism. He didn't tell me. He let me have my experience, but his position as a sponsor was to guide me through the information so I can get clear. That's all sponsorship is for. Not to control and manage my life. That's what God does. I mean, if I'm trusting in God, I'm sorry. If I'm trusting in God, God does that for me. And that's what happened, man. I walked the steps, man, and I stand before you, let you know, man, listen, I'm no saint. But my thinking has been revolutionized, man. Appendix 2, why not read it? I love Appendix 2, man. This means 567. But I don't know if you ever read it, but I beg of you, sub Mark, to read Appendix 2. There's three asterisks before I get even way before the inventory. There's three asterisks that all point to Appendix 2. It says for further amplification, they say read it. And after some rounds of going through the work with others and doing this and that, see, I don't know about y'all, but the big book is so spiritual, it never speaks to me the same every time. It never does. It never does. Because there was some stuff that years ago I was reading that today I'm like, oh. I'm going way in advance. Chapters going back and I'm connecting stuff. And I'm like, I don't know about y'all, man. When words are repeated in the big book, for me, I need to understand why. Oh, they're letting me know this might be of importance. When things are italicized, I got to figure out, okay, Jermaine, this is important. Hone in deeper. But in Appendix 2, man, this is powerful, man. It's the message I carry to any man. The book says that the spiritual experience and the spiritual awakening, they say, are the same terms. Don't get that confused. But they say that quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergrown, it says, a profound alteration in his reaction to life. Profound alteration in my reaction to life, meaning that when life presents itself with calamity, I don't do what I used to do. That when my neighbor is really like making me upset, I don't go cuss them out and be ignorant about it. That's just for me. And I can attest that I've had some experiences around here that I could have, but I didn't. That after being employed with this information, like seeking jobs and working jobs, I haven't stolen from my employers. I haven't been this honest. When I made mistakes at work, I say, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm sorry. How can I correct this? When I got pulled up, I didn't get resentful about it. I understood that. The book says, with few exceptions, our members find they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which is the fundamental idea back in the agnostics, if you don't know that. It's the fundamental idea that something happened to me from within. So when Bill Wilson says the fourth dimension of existence, he felt something within himself as well. Spirit of God. And I don't know about y'all, I didn't create me, so I know something greater than me exists. I know that man lives on land and fish live in the ocean. So I know something greater than me exists. I didn't create gravity, but I got physical proof that it exists. So something greater than me has to keep me sustained. So what I've learned is I don't seek my purpose as to figure out what this higher power is. I seek my purpose into fulfill its will for the benefit of others. And I get rewarded in the process. That's what I've done with this information. That's why it speaks to me. This is not a selfish program. I'm sorry if you believe that. Yeah, you are important, but so is a newcomer. Yeah, you are important, so is holding down commitments. If I'm that dang important, then what about Cocaine Anonymous? Who's going to keep CA alive and well? So I got to understand what's going around here with God's mission, man. So I don't know about y'all, but without instructions, I thought long and hard about my third step. Because I told God, this has to work, God. I'm in treatment. I'm tired of going to jail and prison. My life is super unmanageable. I can't maintain a healthy relationship with my woman or women, whoever I choose to be with, right? I'm looking at my family dynamic, and that's all twisted. God, what's up? You have to do something about this. Because if this doesn't work for me, I already know I'm going back to the yard. I don't know when. But my experience has shown me that no matter what I try to do, I end up getting arrested. So God, this must work. So I thought hard about my third step. I said, Jermaine, do you really want to do this? Because the truth is, my sponsor was so cold, although it's not in the big book. He said, man, for step two, he said, put some ideas about God on paper. And I'm doing my reading. So I'm like, no, I'm seeing the big book. But I did it anyway. And I had a profound experience that I take this infinite, vast existence of God, and I try to confine it to work for me. And that's been my problem. Instead of letting God do what God does, the books say I get in the way. Step three says I gotta quit playing God. That's the how and what's the how. We see that it didn't work, Jermaine. Look at your experiences. They never lie to you, Jermaine. If you so well off, why are you sitting in treatment, Jermaine? Bill Wilson said that I acquired the coat tan of the impeccable. What is that impeccable coat tan of the well-to-do? He was out there living life, but I'm sitting in treatment. Trying to figure out how I got here. But I got there because I don't know how to live out in the world. So when the book tells me I got to find a power by which I can live. When the book says I got to find a power by which I can live. Now I get sober. Because God does that while I'm sleeping. So when I come to my consciousness, what it's up to me to maintain sobriety. So I needed 12 steps. I needed it. Because not only have I recovered from a seemingly hopeless state, my mom got her son back. Hello. My kids have an active father in their lives. My baby mamas know that when push comes to shove, when I got one of them, man. Is that my time? 10 minutes? Part of the process, man. I have a lady I have a child with. I'm like super manageable. Super. Like, it stems down to her kids' lives. It affects her children. Like, the book talk about the sad wives and the blameless children. That was in doctor's opinion, right? I'm watching it. And I got a solution I know she can benefit from. But it's not my job to tell her. My job is to be in the position that when she asks for help, I'm willing and ready to help. But it took some years, though, big sis, for me to have some experiences with her. To understand, Jermaine, you're trying to force your will into her life. And so the crazy stuff would happen. She'll say, I got a letter in the mail, and this is on disconnection notice, and I need X amount of money. I get mad. She got a boyfriend, or at the time she had one. Why don't you go ask him for help? See, that's what I want to say. But then something happened to me. Now, I remember times I got locked up when I wasn't coming home. Times I stayed to the yard. And where was my daughter? Oh, with her mother. So all them times I wasn't in my baby's life, she was there. So something happened to me in a nanosecond. I had to remember that and remember that we cease fighting anything or anyone. The book said that I don't argue. My book says that. Your book might say something different. Y'all might, I don't know, reposition some words. So I say, well, how much you need is what I can do, and I can do it by this time. And I do it. I do it. My mom came out here and my life built up and my life built $900-something. What? Here's what I can do. And when I get this on this date, I can do this much. And I don't ask for a red penny. When she has to borrow money, I don't ask for a red dime. She said, I need to borrow. Check this out. Stop saying you need to borrow some money because you know what? You never give it back to me. And today I know better than to ask for it back. I'm talking about a psychic change. See, I don't know. If I do you a favor, I'm going to let you remember that every time I see you. That's how I used to get down, man. Remember that one time, man? Remember that? Okay, just checking. Because I like to play mental chess with people. It should be a game with me, man. As long as I got one up on you, I'm winning. But when I get rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, man, that means I'm to the best of my ability, I'm trying to connect with this power that I can't fully define and comprehend, which for the record, is not our job. Our job is to experience God. If I don't experience God, how I know God is if I don't experience. So that's why we talk about this 12-step process. It's meant to be experienced. The word experience in the big book 85 times. That's not by mistake. So be clear what's going around here, man. My time is almost up, man. But when I tell you I have a psychic change, man, that means that something happened to me that even if I think insanely, even when I feel overly emotional, even when I'm blocked from this power, I know what to do. I know what to do. Now, if I do it, that's a whole other meeting. But I've tapped into this consciousness, man, and I'm gonna close with this, man. See, Carl Jung, right? He's in the big book, so we're gonna talk about him. Carl Jung, man. See, he's cool, man. He got this theory. He calls it the collective unconsciousness. So his thing is like he said. For example, if you take a little child, right, and he said if you show the child some images or pictures, right? Like, example, if you show a little baby a Grim Reaper, they will associate that with death or something sad or something that's dangerous. He said, where does that come from? He said, so there's this thing he believed in called the collective unconsciousness, right? That we all have access to. And that's what gives us the intuition, right? I don't have to always call my sponsor to make a decision. I don't have to always go to a meeting to be of service. Understand, the principles are designed so I can go out in the world and live. If I'm always hiding out on Cocaine Anonymous, what about my kids, my family? What about my job? What about the person out there who don't know how to come into here, who is still suffering? Find out what's going on. The 12 steps is bigger than Cocaine Anonymous. It's not better than Cocaine Anonymous, because without CA, I don't get to the solution. But it's bigger than Cocaine Anonymous. It's God. It's God. And if I don't seek this power on a daily basis, my experience will show me what happens prior to getting loaded. I get blocked from the help. You know, consciousness, man. Step 11 is so cool, man, right? I had an experience the other day, man, that was super profound, man. It jaw-dropped me. I reached out to a young lady from my past, right? And before meditation, I woke up and someone said, man, it's her birthday. Reach out to her. And I reached out to her social media, it's her birthday, right? And I said, you know what? Although, you know, our history was so long ago, I told her, thank you for sharing experience with me. I appreciate that. That was it. Happy birthday. And she replied back, you know, later, and she told me that her dad had just passed days ago. And she was shocked that I remembered her birthday. She said she didn't know what to do about her dad, and she was super sad. But she said, thank you for sending out that message to me. I needed that. And that came out of the blue. Out of the blue. I haven't seen this woman in over 20 years. Out of the blue. That is the consciousness, man, that shows up to let me know that, Jermaine, just do what I put in front of you, which is this, and I'm going to walk with you out here so you can live this life to be an example of what I can do for other people. The book says something like this, man. We never apologize for God. The book says we demonstrate through me what he can do. So it has to be, I need to be, it was suggested for me to be in a position to be a maximum service to not only God, but the people about me. So be careful on how you treat people. Because you never know who's going to be your next sponsor around here. So my suggestion is, don't talk down to the newcomer. They where they need to be. Don't hate on the old timer. You know, learn how they got through the stuff they got through. But if I come in here with these closed ideas, the book called Fixed Ideas, Superstitions and Traditions, if I come into the rooms holding on to that, I'm being blocked from the God power that's within myself. And as a result of working these steps, what I can let you know is that I'm recovered, meaning I don't struggle about getting loaded, but I still got alcoholism. And so I have to do this to remember what the solution is when my defective character cropped up, because I had no control over him anyway. So that's why I see God. And if you haven't worked all 12, my opinion, which means not in the big book, you should have nothing negative to say about 12-step process. If you haven't even tried to get to 12, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. But I'm only saying that because if you don't experience this, how do you know if it's going to work for you? See, we talk about this all day long, but I don't golf. I never golf. And if Ronnie D, if you golfed, we can't connect on that level until I experience golfing. Same thing with the 12 steps, man. So get a sponsor. Get a dictionary, get some pens and paper, highlighters and markers, go through the work, define words you don't know, ask questions, man, and find out about your own condition before you start trying to assassinate somebody else's. My name is Jermaine, thank you. Oh, you good.
My name is Ina Renee. I'm an alcoholic. And let's give our speaker another hand. Ooh, wow. We are fully self-supporting through our... We are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. At this time, we will observe the seven traditions while the 12 traditions are being read. Newcomers need not feel obligated to contribute. Please remain quietly seated while the baskets are being passed. The 12 traditions are to the group, what the 12 steps are to the individual, and Leon will read the 12 traditions.